With the invasion rationales of WMD and terrorism collapsing under the weight of authoritative post-war inquiries, the Bush administration began to lean more on the third leg of the rationale, liberation. Wolfowitz especially stepped up to this, in part because he always had believed it. But just as that became an emphasis, the abuses at the Abu Ghraib prison broke into public view, damaging that argument. On the evening of April 28, 2004, 60 Minutes 2, a CBS television show, revealed the extent of the abuse at Abu Ghraib and broadcast some of the memorable photographs taken of brutalities committed in the prison. 2 days later, the New Yorker magazine posted on its website an extraordinarily thorough account of abuse at Abu Ghraib by Seymour Hersh, a veteran investigative journalist. Hersh had more photos. He had transcripts of some testimony from military legal proceedings, and most important of all, he had the Army's own stunning report. Between October and December 2003, at the Abu Ghraib confinement facility, numerous incidents of sadistic, blatant, and wanton criminal abuses were inflicted on several detainees, wrote the Army report's author, Major General Antonio Taguba. His disgust evident throughout. But it was the images that made people, even in Congress, pay attention. It was a painful moment for anyone who wore the nation's uniform or who wanted to be proud of the U.S. military. Rumsfeld later disclosed that twice during this period he had offered to step down as defense secretary. But both he and Myers, his top military advisor, appeared to have learned little from the scandal, if their public comments are any indication. In its wake, over a dozen official inquiries were conducted. One of the best of those, a review of the role played by Pentagon officials, was led by former Defense Secretary James Schlesinger. It concluded that there had been a failure not only to plan for an insurgency, but also to react to the insurgency once it erupted. It specifically faulted the assumptions that shaped the war plan. Asked about that criticism, Rumsfeld insisted in September 2004 that it was an excellent war plan, a highly successful war plan. To a surprising degree, those punished for the crimes committed at Abu Ghraib would be the lowest of the low, England, Grainer, and the like, which is to say, a low-ranking female reservist enlisted soldier and her ex-lover. The Army repeatedly insisted that its top commanders were not at fault, and seemed to refuse to consider the possibility that that stance was wrong. Even former Defense Secretary Melvin Laird, such a longtime friend of the Defense Secretary that he had helped in Rumsfeld's first campaign for Congress, found that outcome unacceptable. To stop abuses and mistakes by the rank and file, whether in the prisons or the streets, heads must roll at much higher levels than they have thus far, he wrote over a year later. The best way to keep foot soldiers honest is to make sure their commanders know that they themselves will be held responsible for any breach of honor. But that was not the message the Pentagon or the Army chose to send. Over the next year, additional information about abuses would continue to surface. There were many more Pentagon reviews, but no independent ones. And because most of the internal reviews seemed to blame the privates while excusing the generals, a lingering air of unfairness hangs over the entire affair. Also, because the top brass seemed unwilling to confront what really happened and continued to insist that each instance was an isolated case, each additional disclosure of abuse would be cited by journalists and others to challenge the theory that a few low-ranking bad apples were entirely to blame. To anyone who knew the military, that just didn't sound right. As former soldiers, we knew that you don't have this kind of pervasive attitude out there unless you've condoned it, said retired Army Colonel Larry Wilkerson, who had been Colin Powell's chief of staff at the State Department. And whether you did it explicitly or not is irrelevant. An unfortunate side effect of that continued suspicion was that it shadowed the courage shown by thousands of other U.S. soldiers. We now spend 90% of our time talking about the Abu Ghraib stuff and 1% talking about the valor of the troops, said Bing West, the chronicler of the Marines in Iraq.